Good to be with you here this morning. It's good to be here that someone loves Dr. Nix over here to my right. Or she's not here, so. Okay, good. What's her name?
Betty.
Hey, Betty, how are you? Thank you for the encouragement. I received another word of encouragement from my wife this morning at breakfast when she said, I hope church is not boring. Gotcha. To which I replied, what did you say? And here's what I heard. I hope church is not burning. And I said, well, I hope it's not burning either. I hope it's not boring either because I'm speaking. Anyway. All right. I wanted you to do me a favor this morning. How many of you have had a rough year? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you had a rough year. How many of you this morning have something to complain about? Raise your hand. All right. I see some hands are higher than others. Here's what I would like for you to do. I would like for you to briefly think about what you have to complain about and how rough this past year is. And I want you to transfer what you're thinking to your face. And I want you to take, and I'm going to time you, and I'm going to look around, 5 seconds. When I say go, I want you to give me that face. The face of anger, despair, pain, anger, frustration. 5 seconds. All right. One, two, three, go. Give it to me. Come on. Hold it. Why are you laughing? Okay. I did that. It's kind of interesting. I did that because you can't hold it long. You can feel it. And if I said, let's have a complaining service and think back to this past year, you would say, okay, I've got a lot I could share. Right? You do. But I'm hoping, just like you're, you know, you can't hold it for very long before you start to giggle. I'm hoping that we can say, yes, it's very painful. And it may not be just last year. It may be yesterday. I'm hoping that we can honestly see beyond that to say, you know what? Yes. Pain, yes. But there were also lessons of hope throughout this last year. And that's one of the things I appreciate about this church in the time where there's the sharing of praises as well as prayer requests, because there is hope. There is that light at the end of the tunnel. Anytime we have a relationship with the Lord, there is hope. King David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you or thou art with me. And at the end of Psalm 23, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No matter what I'm going through or what I have gone through, there is hope, because there's hope in Christ. This last week, little nuggets come to me different times of thoughts. I get frustrated like everybody else. I must get frustrated. I must look mean. A friend of mine called me today and he said, Robert, I got to go to this place. Do you mind going with me? And I said, no, I'll go with you. He said, I just need somebody else to go with me. He said, because you just look mean sometimes. And I've heard that before. He said, you just kind of sometimes give off a mean vibe. And I need a mean vibe. Okay, I'll go with you and I won't say anything. I'll just look mean. And I thought, well, there's people have different spiritual gifts, and that happens to be mine, and I'm just appreciate it. But we need to have hope. There is hope in Christ. There is hope in the fact, and as I was saying, a little nugget of encouragement to me. I do get frustrated. I do read things that get me angry, and I get exasperated. But the one thing that came to me this week, and it's, you already know it, is that there's nothing that happens. There's no decision in Washington, in the recesses, in the darkness of the dungeons of the Capitol, and they make these decisions that are just satanic to the core. And they are. Some of them are just terrible. On their best days, they're bad. That there's not one of those decisions that God doesn't know about. And while they're contriving and thinking about what they can get away with, God says, I've got this. I know it. And some of the stuff is pretty tough. Some of the stuff is terrible. Some of the things that happen to us not in Washington is tough. But yet it's not outside of the hand of God. It's not outside of the knowledge of God. And we say, God, why don't you stop it? And I'll be honest with you, I don't know. But I do know this, that the light does shine the brightest in the darkest. And that's where He wants us to be. We can worry and we can fret and we can sweat and we can be angry and we can be frustrated and we can be depressed. But there are things that we can't control. God desires that we put our trust in Him alone. And that, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not carnival, not great America, death, frustration, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. This morning we're going to look at a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The title of my message is There is Hope. I actually thought about renaming it and calling Pastor Dan and telling him I wanted to name it Ignorance is Not Bliss. And we'll get to that in a minute. But in this passage, I'm going to read a couple of passages. I don't normally do this. But if you have your Bible, I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians 15. Now what I'm going to do is if you don't, that's fine, just listen, and I'm going to read through four passages, but they all talk about the same event. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 55. And they all connect. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible, he's talking about our human bodies, has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? We turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading verses 4 and following, and you'll see a connection here. For we who are in this tent, speaking of the body, groan, amen, amen, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, and verses 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Now to our text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, it says this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. The reason I titled this message Hope is because as the Apostle Paul is dealing with this young church, the church of the Thessalonians, it is a church where he tells us in chapter 1 that when he preached the message of grace to them, they received it. It said they received it as it was preached to them in the power of the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. And they received the Word. Their testimony was going out throughout the nation, throughout the regions. Verse 9 of chapter 1, it says, for they themselves declare, and this is others, concerning us, what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So he's talking to this church. They received the message of grace, understanding that Christ died on the cross for their sins. They turned from idols and idolatry to worship and serve the God of the universe. And as they are worshiping and as they are growing and as they are communing and they are loving each other and they are fellowshipping with each other, there came a question. And that question is being addressed in 1 Thessalonians 13. And Paul handles it by starting out by saying this, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, the question I have for you is this. Just like he said to the Thessalonians, I don't want you to be ignorant. Is ignorance bliss? No. Somebody says, what you don't know won't hurt you. Is that true? No. Now, some things are not as bad as others, and I wrote a few of these down. Here's one that happened to me. A couple of them did. I did not know, officer, I was speeding. Yeah, you're laughing exactly right. Fast forward to me standing in the courthouse going, yes, sir, I was speeding, and can you lower the points for me? And they did. But the officer wrote me a ticket. My response of, officer, I didn't know I was speeding, was a response of ignorance. And that was true. Now, there are times when I do know I'm speeding, okay? Right, and but I didn't know. I wasn't aware that it was 25. I thought it was 55. Yeah, it was a biggie. Okay. Have you ever been there? So ignorance in that case still caused harm. Okay. Well, this is one that kind of deals with my wife here. My wife is allergic to shrimp. And someone might say, I didn't know there was shrimp in that salad. Okay, so if you eat something that you're allergic to, even if you didn't know it, even if you were genuinely ignorant of it, and all ignorance means is don't know. That's all it means. It's not necessarily derogatory. But could that cause you harm? You know, I pick up my medicine and I didn't realize that it was the wrong pill. Well, the fact that you didn't realize it doesn't matter if you consumed it. Some people today believe that if I work and I'm pretty good and I'm good to other people, I'll work my way to heaven. And they believe that, and they're working their tail off to try to get to heaven. And the answer is, will they get to heaven? And the answer is no. Because it's not about your works, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to have forgiveness of sins. You can't work your way to heaven. What we do and what people do is they compare themselves. He says, I'm better than her. I say, I'm better than her. She says, I'm better than him. And we all compare ourselves to make ourselves feel better. And God says, you need to have absolute righteousness. And the only way you can have absolute righteousness is through accepting my son's payment on the cross for your sins. John 3:16, the sign that was held up. But here he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I got one here that happened to me, and I may have shared the story in passing. But here's one. I did not know I was swimming in shark-infested waters. Well, when I took a group to Brazil, a mission group, and we're all swimming, and the beach is full of people. And we're out there playing games in the water, riding the waves, having a great time. And I look up and down the beach. There's thousands of people on the beach. There is nobody in the water but my group. And I think, oh, that's odd. They must not like the water that much. They just like the sun. So we're having fun. Later on, I found out that year, that area had the most fatal shark attacks of anywhere in the world. And you know what? I've been back to Brazil twice after that. We were three times in all. And there's signs everywhere. Shark. Don't, you know, all this stuff. Okay. But see, I was ignorant. Now, nothing happened. And I'm thankful for that nothing happened. But when you think of ignorance, Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Now, what he's talking about when he's talking about sleeping, he's talking about dead. He's talking about these believers were struggling. I know we've just trusted in Christ, and you tell us that Christ is coming back to get us, to take us home. But what about people who died trusting Jesus before he comes back? It's a good question for people who are growing in their relationship with the Lord. And so he goes on to explain it. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep as the others who have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now, he's talking about two different people here. He says, there are people who have died knowing Christ as Savior. And then he says there are people with no hope. The rest with no hope. Two different people. And it's interesting because he's telling us in this passage that without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. Now, it doesn't mean that a person that doesn't know Christ as Savior can never get saved. But in their current condition, you remember verses like Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. He did not say, I am a way, a truth, and life. He says, I'm the only way. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? All right. John 3:16. Can anybody quote John 3:17? But the world through him might be saved, or to save the world. Okay, good. Can you do 18? No, okay, that's fine. I'm just playing with you. I could quote all three, but I've forgotten. I want to read it because I'd mess it up. But listen to this, and I appreciate that. Here it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already. So when Paul in 1 Thessalonians says, as the rest who have no hope, he's saying that those who die without Christ have no hope. Now here, this gets a little sticky. And we've all had family members that passed away and we didn't know if they had a relationship with Jesus. I get that. And as a pastor, I have done funerals of people that I didn't know if they knew Christ or not. And I have people come up to me concerned about that. And here's what I tell them. And I do not give a false sense of security because I don't know. And the fact of the matter is, I don't know about you and I don't know about you. I know about me. And we are all individually accountable to God. But I always say to them, you never know what decision that was made in the quietness of their heart. You just don't know. And I have a feeling that when we get to heaven, we are going to see people that we didn't expect to be there, and we're going to see people that we expected to be there who are not. Because it's a personal decision that a person makes. So I never preach somebody into heaven. I never preach anybody out of heaven. I just give the gospel. That Jesus Christ is the way. And it's up to them. I've had people come up and tell me that they got saved watching Billy Graham on television. I've had elders in churches say that they've picked up a Gideon Bible. These things happen, and we never know what someone did in their heart. So don't put somebody in heaven or put somebody out. You are accountable to God yourself, as am I. But the Bible says very clearly that there are those who are asleep in Jesus. In other words, they're dead in Christ, and there are those who are not. There are those who have hope because they're hoping in the trusting in the finished work of God, the finished work of God on the cross through Jesus. And there are those who say, I can do it on my own. I don't need Jesus. I'm trying to be good. And they'll come up short. So let's look at the text and let's read on. Because the other verses that we read will kind of come into play here. He qualifies this. He says, okay, there are those with no hope. Verse 14, he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That's getting a little weird. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep in the Lord. I added that. So he's saying this. He's saying, okay, there are people that are dead in Christ who are believers, and we who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord. And I believe Paul believed that he would be alive when the Lord came back, and he wasn't. He died like everybody else at that point and in the past. But he says, those who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, when Christ comes back, it's called the rapture of the church, to be caught up. When he comes back, he says here, the dead in Christ will rise first. So let's look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, and Paul believed he would, I believe, would be alive, he said, well, by no means precede those who are asleep. In other words, the people who are dead in Christ will go first. Now it's getting really weird. Okay? I'm saying that facetiously. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead, and that's how you know when he says sleep is dead, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Won't that be interesting? Maybe you've seen pictures of that where people are shooting to the sky. I don't know how that's going to look, but remember back in 1 Corinthians, it says in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen. And it says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Notice the sequence here, verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's the caught up or raptured up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus shall we always be with the Lord. There are four things that I want to just share with you briefly, and is this. We have assurance that Christ will return for his own. Because he says he will. He'll come back. Number two, no matter what we go through on earth, we can have confidence that we are not forgotten. And perhaps if we die, and more than likely you will, and I will, the Bible says that we will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So when you and I die, and they bury me, and they put me in the ground, my body will die. My body will rot. And it'll be no more. And I will be there, but my soul and my spirit will be with God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I will be with Him. But my body is that perishable. Remember 1 Corinthians? Immortal becomes immortality. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So in this current condition, something's got to happen. And it does. It happens at death. I go to the grave. I'm dead. My body rots. But God can fix that. Because He tells us that when the Lord comes back, we shall be changed. In the moment, I'm going to jump back to 1 Corinthians 15. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for this trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. It's at this point where Paul talks in Philippians that we will be given a glorified body. And you say, is there recognition in heaven? And I say, yes. And you're going to come up to me and you're going to say, wow, I never knew you had hair. I asked a professor in Bible college if we would be lighter, if we would be thinner. And he wasn't amused. He thought I was being funny. And I was, but anyway, at least I thought I was. But the fact of the matter, he's explaining a time when the Lord will come and descend from heaven with a shout. And He will call in the dead in Christ. At that point, there will be an instantaneous glorified body. And God can do that. God can take and make that glorified body. And we will be with Christ. They will precede those who are alive. And we will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. At the end of every chapter in the book of Thessalonians, Paul ends with something about the Lord coming back. And I just want to give you a look at one of those verses in 1 Thessalonians 1:10. It says this, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And I believe the wrath He's talking about is the future tribulation period. Because when the church, the body of Christ, when we believers in this dispensation of grace is caught up to meet the Lord in the air, then God will continue, and that's when the tribulation period will begin. At some time after that, the tribulation of 7 years, you've heard about it, 666, Mark of the Beast, all that stuff, that's coming. But you ain't going to be there. We will be in the presence of the Lord. He's taking us away. There is hope. And the beautiful thing about this, and I want to close with this, is I know things are tough. I know I struggle like you struggle. But when we keep our eyes on who we are, who we know in the person of Jesus Christ, God has got this. And while He does allow things to happen, He's allowed some terrible things to happen in history, and He's let a sin-cursed world run its course. But let me say this. God has always had a message of grace to that sin-cursed world. There has always been a way out. I mean, the brother here sharing about the Gideons, what a powerful testimony. Of people who their lives are just crushed. Their lives are just in the tank. And they go in and they read a Bible and they trust Christ as their Savior, and it's transformed. It's transformed by the power of God's grace and mercy. And that's hope. But what about us believers? We don't have problems, right? We just walk about this high off the ground. And we just flutter. We don't even really walk. We flutter. And people look at us and they go, oh, they have no problems. No, you know as well as I do, that's bull. We struggle. But we struggle a lot when we take our eyes off the Lord. And we look at circumstances and we really believe that sometimes, we wouldn't say this out loud, but the way we live, we think those circumstances are bigger than God. Well, we don't say that, but we just don't even think about God. We think about what we're going through, thinking that nobody else has ever done that. Well, let me tell you something. It's been bad in the past. And it will probably be bad in the future. But we still have a God who is all-powerful. We still have a God who gives us strength to endure. We still have a message of grace that can transform lives. And as Paul in that Roman prison in Philippians says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." If he didn't have something to look forward to in death, why would he even write that? See, the beautiful thing about this passage is it teaches us that we can have assurance in Jesus Christ today. And if we pass away, we will be in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one day when the Lord comes back, we will get a glorified body. We will be changed. You will no longer limp. You will no longer go bald. You know, please, that's me. Some people think it looks good, but I just a whole other issue. The issue is this, guys. It will be a glorified body that God gives us to go into eternity to be with Him. This perishable, Paul says the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day to day. I'm getting old. When our brother said, "I'm watching the kids play and I got wore out," I just laughed because I sort of get it. You know, I mean, that's life. You know, you don't just can't. But you know what? The beautiful thing about that is God wants every stage of life, He wants us to serve Him. And He wants us to look to Him. And He wants us to read verses like that. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. Ignorance can kill you. Ignorance and grief can harm you. And we don't want to be ignorant about our hope and the fact that there are people without hope, but there's hope in Jesus Christ. Folks, I don't know what you're going through right now. I'm sure it's ups and downs, roller coaster like I am. But please understand that God has got this. And no matter how dark it gets around you and around me, He desires that we keep fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of faith. And He will lead us through those things. And better yet, and I want to leave you with this, as we learn and I've read about this hope that we have of the Lord's return, realize this, that if you do know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, God wants to use you. Every one of us in this room knows people who are hurting right now. We know people who are suffering right now. They may be Christians and they may not. And I believe that God puts it on our hearts to reach out to them. And if He does, if you get that voice where you say, "You know what, maybe I need to call her," do me a favor. Do it right then, if you can. Reach out and let God use you in the life of someone else. There's no better medicine for pain and suffering than to serve somebody else. Because when you help somebody else, you take your eyes off yourself. And God blesses you and blesses me through doing that. Folks, we have hope. And it's not just when He comes back. There's hope today. Because we know who's in charge. And as the king, I'll finish with what I started with. As King David said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." For Thou art with me. And He's with us today. Let's pray. Thank You, Father, for our time together and for the hope that we have in You. And that one day, Lord, You will come back and You will call us home. And if we're alive, wow, what a sight that should be. And Lord, if we're in the grave and we're with You and we get that glorified body, I can't even believe what that'll look like or how I'll feel. What a joy, Lord, to know that You've got this. That You know and You are all powerful. And You desire us to look to You as our hope. We praise You in Christ's name. Amen.